Joining us now is Gary Yeo, Professor of Economics and Environmental Studies at Wesleyan University. Professor, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Professor, would you say that the early adaptations for dealing with the climate turbulence, global warming, whatever you want to call it, are basically the form of a kind of tax?
I think that the impacts in the associated risks from climate change and the dynamic climate system that's moving forward in ways we don't quite understand are the tax. The adaptations are, in fact, the way that you can things that you can undertake to reduce the burden of the tax, to reduce the magnitude of the tax. It's a lot like deductions that you can work out on your income tax.
And the question really is, and it's really a question for each individual consumer, depending on where they live and what the climate impact is, do you build in preventive investments to mitigate what might happen, kind of like the way you buy insurance? Or do you just deal with it on the tailwind?
It is most efficient if you look at it as insurance, but it's a much harder concept to try to visualize, except for people who actually do buy insurance. Because if you're doing it in anticipation of the possibility that something bad might happen and trying to protect yourself to some degree against the consequences, what you're doing is buying into something that reduces a likelihood, a probability. It makes you feel more comfortable and confident, but it doesn't necessarily show up in anything that you could see. The event may not happen, and you won't know whether or not your investment would have paid off. But nonetheless, there are ways that the market is giving consumers signals that they are concerned about it. Insurance premiums for properties along the coasts are going up dramatically, 5-10-fold, because insurance premiums are starting to take into account the risks associated with coastal storms, but they're willing to give significant deductions on those premiums if homeowners undertake significant adaptations.
And the government is really just getting involved in this sort of thing, I mean, by subsidizing insurance rates and subsidizing the cost of living for people who do live in high-risk areas for so long. There's been a dampening effect of people coming to the realization that they really do need to make some of these investments. So the insurance model is also why it's hard for governments to make intelligent policy. They'd much rather, it seems, spend the higher costs of just dealing with the damage in the form of FEMA trailers, et cetera.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. But we are getting to the point where FEMA is redrawing the floodplain maps, and Congress is starting to get out of the way of that exercise. The president's climate action plan includes an enormous amount on preparedness and suggestions on how state and local governments and the federal government could work together to provide avenues and encouragement for people to undertake the responses that would be useful. But frankly, as an economist, what those government institutions have to do is create pilot programs that show that this stuff works and people can actually improve their welfare by undertaking those actions. And when that happens, there's room for the private sector to come in and take advantage of the opportunity.
Well, you have cautioned repeatedly that it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to assemble an aggregate number to describe this as a tax. So there's a limit to the tax metaphor here. But if we were to, you know, think as an economist does, is there a way to calculate whether the cost of living increase as a result of climate change, a way of thinking of that is it regressive? Does it fall more on the poor or more on the rich or more on some imaginary working class at this point?
Well, two responses to that. First of all, you can add up some of the things that we can quantify. Part of the problem is there is so much that we can't quantify in dollars and cents that those numbers are just significant underestimates of what might be considered the long-run discounted economic cost of emissions of climate change and the tax that it imposes through the environmental consequences. So that is one point. The second point has been known for 10 or 15 years on a global level from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and from a national level through a couple of national climate assessments that, in fact, these impacts are regressive and there are real issues of environmental equity that have to be taken into account.
All right, so pick your poison. Either call it a catastrophe that will destroy the human race or call it a tax. Either one is likely to motivate some sector of society as we think politically about the consequences of climate turbulence. Gary Yeo is a professor of economics and environmental studies at Wesleyan University. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.